Good afternoon, everybody. This is Barb Pello, Group Director from InfoTrends, and I'm delighted that you could join us for our webinar today titled Adapting to New Markets with Inkjet. Is Your Business Ready? And I want to give a special thank you to Kodak for sponsoring this webinar. You know, print, and I think we all know this, but print is driven by applications, and high-speed inkjet technology is no exception. What we're seeing is that demand for a lot of applications changes over time. And there's a number of reasons. It could be growth in usage, electronic replacement, personalization, affordability, or the move to shorter runs. What we're finding in today's market is that high-speed inkjet technology is driving a change in demand, and it's going to have a profound impact on production digital printing in competition with more traditional processes. And what we're going to be doing today is really exploring what's going on in the inkjet marketplace. Now, I'm delighted to be joined by two experts. Justin Lefebvre was going to be with us, however, he's ill. And so John Gaspari, who's the VP of Operations from Specialty Print Communications, is joining us. I've also got Brad Cook, who's a VP of Sales from Web Crafters. Before we get started, what I would like to do is take just a minute to make sure that you know how to enjoy this webinar. If you're having any technical difficulties, please let us know by using the Q&A button, or you can troubleshoot by clicking the help widget below. If you have a question for today's speaker, we'll be taking them throughout the webinar, and all you have to do is submit them via the Q&A box. Make sure that you disable pop-up blockers, and if you really want to see what the console can do, click on the Tips for Attendee widget for a complete rundown. Now, for our session today, let me spend a few minutes taking you through what we'll be discussing. First of all, I'm going to talk a little bit about what we see taking place in the high-speed inkjet marketplace. And we recently at InfoTrends did an application study, and I'm going to share some of the results from that with you. Then what I'm going to do is turn over to Brad. And Brad and WebCrafters is using high-speed inkjet technology to really drive production in the book market. So Brad's going to talk to you about the implications for inkjet and books. And John is going to discuss with you how Specialty Print Communications is using the technology in the direct mail space. We'll wrap up with some recommendations and conclusions, and again, please submit your questions throughout the webinar. Now, here's a chart that I think you've seen before, and you'll recognize the cost versus run length crossover curve diagram on the right-hand side of your screen. Clearly, offset presses facilitate a very effective long-run manufacturing process, and it's good for a lot of copies of the same thing. Because of the high cost of plates and make-ready, it's not effective for what we know as those very short runs. Alternatively, we see digital toner devices in the marketplace, and they have a curve with a very flat cost structure that makes them effective for those very short runs and quick turn work. You can also print a new image on every sheet rather than reproducing the same image over and over again. That means that variable data, personalized printing is possible in digital in ways that conventional offsets can't compete. And so what you're seeing is that crossover point starting to change with the introduction of inkjet technology. Basically, what we've seen in the marketplace, if we look back at history, is there's been four major phases relative to running costs. We entered the fourth phase in around 2008. When you think back to phase one, and this is where I admit my age, I actually remember all these phases. But running cost, defined in this example as the cost of equipment over the expected life of the equipment plus services and supplies, but not paper, operator costs, or overhead, dropped below 20 cents. And that included products like Canon CLC color copier printers and the Xerox DocuColor 40. In phase two, we saw products like Xerox's DocuColor 2000 series, and that brought the running costs to about the 10-cent level. Then we hit phase three, and that was where the Kodak NexPress, Indigo's Icon, Xerox iGen, came into the market. And that kind of cost started to drop below a nickel. Now we're dealing with phase four, and this is where we saw the introduction of high-speed continuous inkjet products that has set a new standard and have dropped running costs well below the 2.5 cent level. Now, with the entry of this fourth phase, the run length crossover point moves digital print into a new territory where it's now very competitive with offset and suitable for very, very high volume prints. At the same time, what we're seeing is the retention of all of the digital advantages, and that includes things like electronic collation, just-in-time manufacturing, workflow automation, and, of course, it's available at high speed and hence very good productivity. Now, this brings about categorizing InfoTrends as a new value proposition because it's adding very compelling cost per page metrics with these high-speed continuous inkjet systems. And what that means is that for very specific application sets, it allows true business model transformation. It includes changes in customer operations, marketing and personalization, and a whole new level of profitability. And these factors have huge business implications beyond the typical cost crossover curves. For instance, you sit down and you look at direct mailers, book printers, and transaction printers. High-speed inkjet brings a whole new level of flexibility to create automated processes to produce timely, accurate, customized, personalized documents that are very indicative of a lot of the market needs that we're seeing today. Now, when we take this through and look at the gaps in the productivity thesis, what we saw in today's in the market was a lot of change. And there are three classes of products shown on this slide. Digital color, sheet-fed offset, and web offset. Sheet-fed and web offset devices are very fast. The vertical axis shows comparison in terms of pages per minute. Cut sheet digital devices supporting A3 format, which is 12 by 18, are typically slower than 200 pages per minute. And so they lag behind cut sheet offset in terms of productivity. Around 2008, a new class of roll-fed continuous feed inkjet systems entered the markets, and they were at speeds that were very comparable to sheet-fed cut sheet offset devices. And they're getting faster, and they're getting more productive every day. We're also starting to see in the marketplace some cut sheet B2 digital systems, and they're just beginning to enter the marketplace, but to date have had minimal impact. The other thing that we're seeing is inkjet imprinting systems, or in other words, inkjet heads mounted on offset presses that makes this whole process even faster. The importance of all of this is that for all practical purposes, inkjet technology has closed the productivity gap that existed for a long, long time between offset and toner-based products. And so when you think about it and we look at the marketplace today, what we're seeing is what we kind of categorize as a perfect storm for digital print. And we're seeing that perfect storm for inkjet driven by technology, by the market economics, cultural and governmental factors. One of the big things that I mentioned early on is that we actually do an application forecast. And what we do is we look at the migration of analog pages to digital pages. And in fact, when you look at some of the markets you'll be hearing about today, the largest application page volume growth for digital print will occur in the book market. And what we do is we look at it from 2012 to 2017. And the message on this chart is that the actual digital page volume of books produced will grow by 40-plus billion pages. Transpromo will grow at 14.9. Brochures, catalogs, magazines, direct mail will all see substantial growth in terms of pages moved to digital. A lot of that is absolutely going to be at the expense of traditional offset printing. When you look at it on a percentage basis, the growth in terms of overall percentages is flexible packaging, off, by the way, a very, very small base followed by magazines, trans promo, and others like newspapers and newsletters. Again, migration from analog to digital technologies. And when you look at this market space, what we're seeing is, in essence, what we've done is we've set up and replaced physical inventory with a virtual document repository. If you look at the inkjet systems on the marketplace, what they've done is they've made it possible for printers to achieve something they've long desired. I can take one paper in to full-color out workflows that eliminate things like pre-printed forms. With this, the digital printer really does become that virtual document warehouse. It means that this allows a customer needs to be met more effectively for things like quick turnaround, improved workflow, regulatory compliance, and probably most importantly, the ability to print variable data in color. It allows things like document composition to become a lot more innovative and colorful. It lets people produce trans promo and trans educational materials. And what it really does is it takes those benefits of inkjet for white paper and full color out workflow and adds to that everything from convenience, speed, and inventory management so that you can launch more effective documents. So when you think about it, there are really three key advantages, and it includes personalized printing, just-in-time manufacturing, and the ability to automate workflow. Personalized printing means that I can truly do that one-to-one document, whether it's a book, whether it's a direct mail piece, whether it's a custom magazine. I can truly do that just-in-time manufacturing, and I can use those color inkjet systems to produce the full document without any pre-printed components if that's what I want to accomplish. And finally, it enables my workflow to become streamlined and automated. An operator can operate a production inkjet system, and depending upon how they've got that finishing line set up, with minimal resource, and I can actually handle multiple tasks and multiple operations that were performed by multiple people with a single staff member. That elimination of pre-printed forms also has the ecological benefit of removing plate making from the production process, i.e., there's no plate making chemistry. Now, what we're going to be doing for the balance of the webinar, and again, I'm going to encourage you to ask questions, but you're going to hear about two very, very specific uses of inkjet technology. The first is going to be from Brad Cook, and he's going to spend some time talking to you about how web crafters is effectively implementing this technology in the book world. And then we'll turn over to John, and John's going to take you through the implications in terms of direct mail. So with that, what I am going to do is I'm going to turn it over to Brad. And again, keep those questions coming in, folks.
Great. Thank you, Barb. Excuse me. And welcome, everyone. What I'd like to do is start and give you a little background on web crafters, how we started into digital printing, and what I see as the two main reasons publishers should be looking at the technology. WebCrafters history, we are a family-owned company. We have roots back to the 1800s, a long history of printing and book manufacturing. We're based in Madison, Wisconsin. We have two facilities here. The first facility houses most of our conventional equipment, and the second houses our offices, pre-press, bindery, and our digital press room. Four-color printing, we do traditional heat-set, web offset, and in the four-color digital, we have toner and inkjet. Markets we serve. We serve educational publishers, publication, trade books, atlases, and B2B catalogs. Four basic product types, spiral-bound books, which are both metal wire and plastic coil, case-bound, including McCain sewn, perfect-bound, and saddle stitch. In terms of the format sizes, we really support two ranges, 8.5 by 11 range, which we refer to as upright, and the oversized, the 10 by 12 range. Now, our conventional equipment and our digital platforms support both of those, and as we start to talk about our digital presence, that was important for us to make sure that the digital supported everything we could do conventionally. So here's a picture of our conventional press. Everyone has probably seen one of those. I always like to see the physical comparison between both platforms. You can see this is a very big machine. Now here's our digital press room. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. Just kidding. That's our Prosper. As you can see, there's a big difference. There's a smaller size, a smaller footprint, but don't be misled. It's very, very productive. Now, a little background on how we got our start with digital. It was about 2005 we got our first toner press, which was a Kodak NexPress 2100. At that time, the need was just for replacement pages. Our customers just wanted new pages tipped into books, whether it was custom publishing or last-minute corrections, but it was really just sporadic. Well, that need changed pretty quickly, and one press turned into three. Customers started asking for more complicated books, higher page counts and higher quantities, and very soon we had to look outside of toner technology. So in about 2009, we set out on a journey to find the best solution for our customers' changing needs. We really felt Kodak's Prosper Press handled our products the best, so we settled on the Prosper 5000. Now, it's important to note here that when I say our products, we're benchmarking probably one of the more difficult types of pages to produce. It is a very high coverage, ink saturated page, and we use that as our benchmark throughout the process. So inkjet quality, this is important. There is still today a distinct difference, although it's less today than it was a year ago and much different than 3 years ago. But there is a difference between quality on the three different platforms, conventional, toner, and inkjet. There have been substantial changes in the last 12 months, I would say, and the net effect is the bottom line is inkjet quality is close enough to offset that the majority of publishers have blessed it. Some are even using the phrase offset substitutable.
Hey, Brad, I just got a question for you. What types of paper stocks are you running?
Well, that's a great question. We started out just with 45-pound mat. That was a strategic focus of ours. It supported one of our bigger product categories, Teacher's Editions. We are moving into a broader base of substrates after the first of the year. 45-pound is probably one of the more challenging sheets to run, so it should be very easy for us to add 50, 60, 70 pounds.
Okay. And then one other real quick question that came in. What's the customer's reaction in terms of the difference between what they get that's produced, let's say a teacher's edition on an inkjet press versus something that was historically done on an offset press?
Well, a lot of that really depends on how educated the particular customer is. If they're familiar with inkjet and digital toner, then I think they're very happy with what they're seeing today. If it's someone that doesn't have an experience with inkjet, there is a learning curve. But I think what they find very quickly when you start looking at the economic models and some of the other benefits that we're going to talk about, the quality differences become less of a factor.
Okay, great. Thanks, Brad.
Sure. So the two questions that I think I'd like to focus on are, why would a publisher consider inkjet? Why would it be helpful? The first one that comes to mind is shorter run lengths. Four areas of that. Number one, and probably most important, in my mind at least, it reduces the inventory obsolescence. Now, obsolescence is a number that I've heard from various publishers over the course of the last couple of years that could be hundreds of millions of dollars in the industry that publishers are ultimately writing off at the end of the year. And that's not just the unit cost of the product that they have on the shelf. It's the carrying cost. It's the shelf space, the insurance, the heat, the taxes. And publishers are realizing that as they get pressure to focus on their bottom line, they need to attack that particular expense. Inkjet certainly can help that. End of life. As long as there's an effective way to respond to demand, there's revenue potential. And I see publishers are continuing to squeeze value longer and longer into titles. If you go back to one of Barb's earlier slides and you saw the curve, and we'll have another slide in a second, but that the tail, the long tail that you traditionally see with digital printing, in the traditional model, it's not there. Revenue opportunities are lost. Unexpected sales. Well, the traditional model of build it, then sell it is changing to the sell it, then build it model. So publishers have the ability to react quickly to market opportunities. And sometimes it's a matter of which publisher gets there first. Now, in the world of education publishing specifically, first printings are a critical part of their cycle. Corrections are inherent, and producing the first prints via inkjet, you're usually producing exactly what you need to submit. There's no waste. There's also an inherent benefit that editorial, production, design, inventory have more time to get the right content to the right people at the right time. So here's an ultra simplified picture of a traditional life cycle of a book, and there's many order slices here, but I just cut it up into three slices. So order one would typically be that first print samples, submissions, marketing samples, corrections typically happen in there. Order two, you can see the demand is high, and that would be traditionally your conventional printing. And then as demand tapers off, inkjet comes back into play, and it can help the publisher capture more of that long-term revenue. So as you can see, order one, digital, order three, digital, order two, conventional. The other big benefit to inkjet is custom books. Now, custom publishing is one of the faster-growing segments in the book world. I mentioned the change to sell it, then build it. Custom content is fast moving in that direction. There's also a model of rebinds, and that's sort of an old model that's been around where publishers are taking books off the shelves and they're cutting the spines off. They're adding new pages. They might be taking chunks of pages from other books, and they're rebinding it into a new edition. And that's been around a long time. There's a custom model where folks are moving away from that and moving it to digital. There's a lot of waste in that traditional model. There's a lot of cutting, cannibalizing, rebinding. It takes a lot of labor, space, time. And then there's a hybrid model, a conventional text with a custom cover or custom sections. And this utilizes basically all three platforms potentially. It utilizes conventional press, efficiency for the text or perhaps the shell, variable content on the cover, and publishers are seeing a tremendous benefit there where they can include access codes or software access rights as a part of the book because each cover is a unique cover. So this is just a drawing, a rendering, if you will, of what a Prosper line looks like for us. As you can see, it looks very similar to a traditional press. There's a roll that goes through some units. We happen to have a Sigma back end that folds it into book blocks. For us, a nearline finishing solution made the most sense. We have a variety of product types from spiral binding to case binding to perfect binding. So having a flexible solution allowed us to do a lot of things for a lot of publishers. Now, what you don't see here is at the beginning of 2014. By the end of the first quarter, we'll have another Prosper. We're very excited about that. And just in general, I'm very much so looking forward to 2014 and to see how the industry continues to evolve, not just in our markets, but other markets are making incredible advancements. John's no exception, and I'm looking forward to hearing what he has to say.
Hey, Brad, thanks. We got a couple more questions for you. First of all, one of the folks asked a question about when you produce the inkjet, do you have any issues with smudging at all? If there's any moisture or anything like that when you send documents off to clients? And I'd like your comments on that.
It's something that we have to always be aware of. Early on in the development of inkjet, that was a factor, and that was probably one of the delays in the implementation of inkjet for us, was that and a highlighter test, some people refer to. Today, it's a much sturdier, more integrity product. There are less issues with that. In fact, I haven't had any quality issues brought to my attention that have to do with smudging or inability to highlight.
Okay, perfect. Now, the next question is, when you take a look at the implementation of inkjet and, you know, the impact on your operation, what was the biggest challenge?
Oh, good question. Well, initially, one of the biggest challenges is just the technology blitz, if you will, going from a conventional workflow to a digital workflow. You know, once the press crews became accustomed to that, then the learning curve got very quick, and the implementation and productivity accordingly increased dramatically. But really just the seamless workflow from a digital front end to the press side and into finishing, just, you know, constantly improving and making sure that we have the flexibility to bounce between all three platforms.
Okay. And how about the salespeople? How are they doing at selling the concepts around shorter runs, customized books? How hard a transition is that from a selling perspective?
It varies depending on which one of the sales reps you talk to, I guess. Again, a lot of it has to do with is the publisher educated in inkjet and digital print. If they are, it's a pretty smooth conversation because the economics, the rollout time to get product to market is pretty impressive. For someone that's not had any background or any knowledge of this, sometimes it's challenging for them to see it and grasp it. But when you have those aha moments, when they understand what the inkjet process can do and the benefits, both time and cost, and just how that return of their product life cycle is, it's fun. That's really the fun part is turning somebody on to the concept.
Now, and one other question came in from the audience for you is, you obviously spent a lot of time evaluating the marketplace. Were there specific reasons that you selected the Prosper over other competitive offerings?
There were. We kicked the tires on just about everything out there. There was a couple of factors. One is we've had a longstanding relationship with Kodak. They've been a fantastic partner for us. So starting from that place is always beneficial. Their technology and the way that they put ink and coverage on the paper and the overall support, and again, we're basing all of this on the toughest pages out there, which are teacher's edition pages, just color heavy. And they perform the best, honestly. They put down the best color. The color held better, the balance between water and drying and wrinkling and all the issues that inkjet had early on, I think Kodak gave us the best start out of the gate.
Now, I got two more that came in before I turn over to John. Has inkjet had any impact on your offset volume?
It has. It has eroded the offset volume to some degree. But oddly enough, having the ability to offer the full life cycle of a product has given us some opportunities on the offset end. So digital has driven some offset opportunities our way as well, which is counterintuitive. But overall, yes, I think if you look at the number of impressions that were done at our conventional facility versus our digital facility, you'll see some transferring from there back to here.
Okay. And then do you do any educational sessions for open houses for your customers?
We do. We haven't done any lately, but that is something that we have done and we would love to do.
Okay. And then I have a question on the inks. What type of inks are you using?
That's over my pay grade.
Okay. That's all right. We'll get an answer from after the fact. We'll get an answer on that after the fact. Well, with that, what I am going to do now is I'm going to turn it over to John, and I want to keep in mind what Brad's given us as a perspective on the book market. What John's going to do is talk to you about specialty print communications and what they're doing, leveraging the technology in a very different market, but where I think several of the benefits are consistent. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to John. John, take it away.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. So specialty print communications, or SPC, is a specialist in high data-driven direct mail. So, you know, years ago, we were just a commercial printer with web, sheet-fed, and digital presses. And in 2003, because of the margin compression that we were feeling, we were forced or at least directed to go into the direct mail market. So what we decided to do was to leverage our existing print assets by adding complex inline finishing systems, which included Kodak 6240 imaging capabilities. So we entered into the world of high-volume inline direct mail. Our evolution included our subsequent inkjet decisions, which have been driven by our existing assets. So we decided to take it to another level and go ahead and use imaging on two sides of the web. So what it took to get there is we had to be proactive with our clients. We had to help identify solutions to optimize existing programs. And as a direct mailer, we navigated into usual vertical markets like retail, travel, entertainment and hospitality, insurance and financial services, automotive, and telecommunications. As we evolved beyond printer, our clients had to look at us to deliver a much wider value proposition. That meant we have stronger expertise in letter shop, postal logistics, data programming, and database management. So what we were doing is we were going into data services, loyalty programs, monograms, prepress, printing, letter shop services, books, point of purchase, and premiums. So you can see we expanded way past the traditional print shop and started to get into plastic card manufacturing, read-write technologies, intelligent inserting. We went from a printer into a letter shop, so we have a full mailhouse capability.
John, I have a quick question for you. How much of your current sales is conventional versus digital today at SPC?
It's probably our digital, meaning the with inkjet or just off of our digital presses.
You've got a blend of digital technologies, but in general, how much is offset versus digital?
I would say our offset is probably around 80%. You know, we have sheet lasers, roll-to-roll lasers, digital three Kodak Next presses, one Indigo, and then a lot of offline imaging capability.
Great. Thanks.
So go back one slide. So this is just really showing what happened. So we all know the trend to digital. As our customers expect us to go there with them, we need to make a decision about our solution, what it would look like. So what we decided we'd do is look at the technologies, and we went into the 600 DPI Kodak Prosper has. the S10 heads were when they were released. We already had about a dozen customers who immediately required the new resolution to service their existing business. So that really held, took us into a new level of print quality, the ability to do PMS colors, and then the next thing we looked into was doing the four-color hybrid imaging, or 4CHI as we call it. That gave us the ability to take change pictures out in a small concentrated area based off of the fact that most customers weren't changing the entire piece. There were just certain parts of it that needed to be variable. So we thought that this hybrid imaging was a good combination of both of those. So we want hybrid inline solution that combines the best attributes of offset and color inkjet. So we've had to put a lot of R&D into that. In other words, when we first went into this, it was taking four of the CMYK colors and trying to create pictures on multiple substrates, along with the fact that this ink was mostly water-based and it would tend to blend together and create some quality issues. So we had to do a lot of R&D, and that's pretty much just like fingerprinting a press is how we fingerprinted our color system. What we would do is just try to see how much of the color gamut we can achieve with these on coated, matte, offset. We found coated to be very difficult to deal with, and obviously some of the paper companies have been coming up with solutions for that, such as TrueJet or inkjet receptive stocks. So we've been working with those companies trying to come up with the best solution and also to keep the cost under control because at first it was very expensive for us to do. So
just another quick question here. When you look at FTC, you've clearly got a huge range of services. And so one of the questions that came in from the audience was, within the FTC spectrum, where is your highest margin item and where is your biggest volume and in terms of production? And, you know, how do you differentiate then which process you use for which product? That's a big question.
The best product with margin is really the loyalty programs, whether we're doing those variably, because we can run Teslin or styrene or plastics through our sheet fed presses to print shells, or we can also run Teslin and paper products through our digital presses, which can be variable. So as an example, a card can be specific, whether it be reversed out with your name, a membership card or a loyalty card, or even a rewards card for that matter. And those seem to be the best opportunity for us to grow our business when we started going into that. And then plus we can also thermally image PVC cards, which are also membership programs or reward cards for a lot of the loyalty customers that we have. So definitely there's been a huge growth in that. As far as the volumes, that's still within our inline complex finishing that we do and the amount of imaging that we're doing. The old days of just doing a name and address and a salutation and then having everything static have gone away. The one-head, two-head imaging is now 6 to 8 or more heads on one project to give them the ability to message or be more relevant with their customers throughout the entire direct mail piece.
Great. Thanks.
So what we have is the best of both worlds. We have the printing. We can print on the presses, which we can do the shelves. We also have the imaging. And we can now add a four-color process of changing our pictures in a 4.16 wide channel. We continue in the inline to fold and finish the product. It happens in fewer than 30 seconds. So it's simple to our clients to understand because it's natural extension of what they've been doing in direct mail for years. But instead of varying offers in black and spot color imaging, they can leverage the power of four-color process using the exact same data file and manufacturing processes. As you know, consumables in the inkjet world can run up to 50% of the total cost of the job. Our costs are much lower because what we're doing is the heavy lifting of the shell printing and offset. So the customers today that we're finding aren't completely variably changing the entire piece. They're really keeping most of it static, and the parts that need to be variable that are more relevant to them or hit home better is what we can offer because we can do up to 8 or 12 heads of imaging on each side of the web. So this is an example of a traditional direct mail package. This particular one that I'm showing on the screen, they offer 27 different cruises and it leaves ports in 6 different cities and target people with different family structures and activity preferences. It's very rich data in traditional direct mail environment leads to well over 100 cells or mail streams. They might print different envelopes to showcase relevant teaser copy, a letter driven for multiple fermented drivers, or include a brochure featuring a cruise produced from their predictive model has determined what would be most relevant. When you convert it to 4CHI, you take away all of that. The pictures on the lower portion can be variably changed piece by piece within one mail stream, and we can change the pictures to be more relevant to that person and have also the letters going inside the envelope finished. It's all done in about 30 seconds with the exception of the sort and mail and being entered in the mail and be completely done. And it takes a project that would take from 3 weeks and has it done within a few days. Color inkjet applications are successful when they help customers save time or money or better utilize their insight. You have to identify their KPIs and demonstrate how they're going to move the needle for them. For example, how can you get a grocery chain to increase their customer frequency, average cart size, or share of purchase by sending customers a product offer that's relevant to what they've bought in the past? At SPC, we've had good success with insurance on financial service companies. Another great application is co-marketing. Say a credit card company wants to sell university credit cards, and they've partnered with hundreds of universities on their program. Imagine how many lots and plate changes that would create. This can all be done in one direct mail piece and be finished in line.
Now, let me stop there. I've got a bunch of questions that have come through. And let me start, and this one I'd like to ask basically of both of you. One of the questions that came in was, how long has it taken for you to really maximize the ROI on the inkjet solution? Are they cash flow positive? And I'm going to start with you, John, and then I'll ask the same question of Brad.
Well, it's ever changing. The one of the challenges that we have is that as we have that we think we've come to a good mixture of things that helps us to help our customers, but also drive money to the bottom line. The rules change, and more data is required, or more specialty things, more interactive pieces that we're seeing. So you know, when you talk about 4 years ago is when we bought the first set of S10 heads that we had. It took us we went into R&D immediately with 4-color. It took us a good year to a year and a half to be able to work on multiple substrates. Offset and matte were done fairly quickly, but it was trying to create the ability to print on some coated sheets, or also we partnered with a couple of the paper companies to be able to get high quality on and be able to print litho as well as imaging and have both of those look good. So it took us a couple of years on that one to come up with the perfect formulas.
Okay. Brad, same question to you. How long? I mean, you're putting in your third Prosper unit. Talk to us a little bit about the ROI or the cash flow positive side of that.
Well, for us, we're putting in our second one after the first quarter. Yeah, it was about that same time period. It's interesting to hear John describe it because it's a different application and a different market, but yet the time to really get your arms around it and make it yours is about the same. 2013, we really turned the corner from a stability and productivity I think the marketplace, that's about the same time it was becoming accepted across all platforms, not just Kodak. So there was an ability to have much more volume coming through there, and volume certainly drives stability.
Okay. And next question, and this is for John. What types of, and since it's not in Brad's pay grade, We're going to test yours here. What types of inks are you using? Are you using a pigment ink or is it a dye ink?
I use the pigment ink on my four color, and I use the dye ink, the dye black for all of our single color, only because it's a slightly denser than the pigment ink that we found. And we found that it did a much better job on all substrates. So we use dye for our black and pigment for our CMY.
Okay. And do you use coated and uncoated stocks?
Absolutely. We print on all stocks. Like I said, the 4CHI is trickier when you're trying to print on those ones. But as far as doing variable imaging at 1,000 feet a minute, we do it on all stocks.
And then this is a little bit more technical, and if you can't answer it, it's all right. We'll get back to the individual that submitted it. But how do you hold the dot gain on coated and uncoated stocks? And is there any type of post-imaging heat cure?
Yes. No problem. That's a great question, because that was one of the things that we found. You know, when we first got the heads and we took a file or multiple files and ran them as a stream just to see what they look like with heavy saturation, light saturation, gray balance, all the things that you would typically do for just fingerprinting a press is what you're going to do in this situation. You want to make sure that you can understand what those dot gains are by the fullness of it, by doing scales, and see what you can do to correct those so that they're a little bit more in the ballpark. It's not going to be the exact as litho, but we can get pretty darn close.
Okay. Now, what was, when you looked at implementation, and I mean, you said you spent a lot of time on research and development and a number of things, what was the biggest single challenge at SPC on the inkjet implementation side?
There was a couple. First and foremost was, you know, when we first went into the R&D, especially at the 4CHI, is that we believe that we could image four-color pictures that had very high quality, but we weren't sure if our customers were ready to do that yet. We didn't know if it was going to be something that was going to take off, that customers were going to say, yeah, we want to change it out. We want to be more relevant. We want to be specific with where you're at in your lifestyle. And we still face that challenge today, so we were concerned about that. And then, obviously, it was the second thing was just trying to see if we can get good quality on some of the more trickier stocks, which are coated or matte stocks, dull stocks, those types of things. So we did work. We did partner with an IR drying company to create a drying system, which through IR, medium wave, and short wave, as well as aeronize, they've been able to remove most of the water, leaving the pigment there, so that you can still achieve quality and dry at higher speeds. So there are companies out there that have changed the way that they were drying with just simple IR technology before, which is using a lot more different shortwave and medium wave, along with aeronize that's helped to remove that water quickly so you can dry and have multiple colors on top of each other.
And tell us a little bit, because I think everybody is interested, how is the sales force doing with selling this?
There's been, I can tell you that we've done probably 8 to 12 different customers have used this technology, and some of them come back. So without them sharing the information, which they typically don't, if they're coming back, we feel it must be doing pretty well for them. But there's been a lot of customers, probably somewhere in the 30s, that we have and continue to do is that we continue to test. What we'll do is we will offer to give us some files. And at an opportune time when I'm running a job, I will run a couple of different substrates and provide them with their products on different substrates so that they can see what best fits them and if the quality is there for them.
Okay. Now, we got a question for both of you, and I'll start with Brad on this one. Is there for the book market that you're dealing with, is there a break even where you'll say, I'm going to move it to offset versus digital? Is there a specific kind of a break even point for the books that you produce? in terms of making that decision?
Yeah, and that's really a function of page count and quantity. So that the answer is really all over the place depending on the page count, the quantity, the bind style. But we typically find the changeover from toner to inkjet start to really make sense, maybe 50 copies, something around that, all the way up to, depending on, again, format size to, 700, 800, 900. It really depends on, again, the page count, the quantity, and the bind style.
Okay. And John, how about in your case, is there a break, a volume break where digitally produced inline direct mail is more cost effective than traditional inserted direct mail pieces?
Yeah, you know, that's probably the most common question I get asked when customers come here or I tour a customer around our facility. And I can throw a number out that would work in one scenario, but there's so many different variables that can go into that. And, you know, the one thing that I say is that in most cases where it becomes that 100,000 all the way up to maybe 300,000 pieces is where we actually run it both ways because we can traditionally insert and do all the components and put it into a direct mail piece, or we can do them in line. The amount of variability that goes into them, which would require more maybe camera matching or read-write technology across the street, as well as just the full package itself, and some customers are asked for different multiple substrates. So there's so many variables that go into that. I don't have an exact answer on that, but all I can say is that we know that it's somewhere where people want to know how far they can go with it. We just run it both ways. And you know, to be honest with you, we're a company that has complex inline finishing, and we talk about that all the time. But when it comes to customers that maybe aren't quite sure if they want to make that giant step into that market and really start doing some 4CHI or doing variable imaging on multiple pieces, we simply say, then let's do it through lasering or roll-to-roll, and we'll do it offline as a small sample, put it out on the street, and if it pulls well, then we have the ability to do it in the masses as well.
Okay. And let me ask you one other question that just came in, and this is for John. John, one of the listeners asked, how's the registration on four-color inkjet when running web in a litho inkjet hybrid situation?
That's another great question, because that was very challenging for us when we first went into it. You know, you're spraying micron droplets of a very watery substance onto paper at speed, and what we found was that the height of the heads is critical for constant spray. The heads, both forward and backward, plus side to side, and the rotation, meaning skew, was very critical. So that in a situation where we're trying to do register, you could have pieces that look like they're good, they're in register, and then have another one that looks like it's not. And that's typically usually head height or skew that could be causing those things. It's just not showing up, and it's difficult. But there's automation out there that can read dots and register automated, just like they do for your register systems you have on a litho unit.
Okay. Well, guys, I'm going to wrap up with just a couple of final thoughts here. And if anybody's got additional questions, we absolutely will get back to you. But I wanted to wrap up with, I think, a couple of key takeaways from today's webinar for everybody. And first of all, you know, with their high volume and low running costs, I think what we're seeing is that production inkjet systems are in a whole new space that's way beyond the prior toner-based digital methods, poised to compete head-to-head with offset. And I think what you're hearing is both Brad and John doing that. The big thing is the advantage of the key components associated with digital. It's customized, personalized, just in time, and I can automate workflow. And those are things where offset can't compete, and you need to figure out how to build those into your mix. It's competitive at longer run lengths than ever before. And I think, again, you heard that from both Brad and John. And what you've done is these folks are putting together true virtual document factories that are capable of high volumes. And so what you want to do in today's market is you've got to take a look at your customer base, and you've got to figure out where that sweet spot is and exploit the advantage. You've got to use the best paper stocks. You've got to identify, in some instances, lower coverage applications, and you've got to promote the use of color across the document, which is not always economically feasible with offset. You've got to consider how you can move from a traditional print efficiency model to a business transformation model that helps customers move that white paper in, full color out workflow, streamline your production process, and really allow you to do some of the things that Brad and John mentioned, which are the innovative use of data, images, and color. And finally, what you're delivering to your customers, those content creators, is much greater flexibility about what is possible than offset printing and what they can do to make their message clearer, make it more custom, make it more relevant, more colorful, and more meaningful. And so with that, I want to wrap up and just take a second to say thanks to our presenters today. You did an awesome job. And if you've got any additional comments, please key in the questions. We will respond to them. And I'd also like to make sure that we thank Kodak for sponsoring the webinar. Clearly, both of our presenters are using the Kodak Prosper S series. Also, I would tell you, if you want to learn more about Kodak, you can go to kodak.com, go Prosper, and there's an InfoTrends white paper that's available for a download, and it's called the Digital Advantage Hybrid Offset and Standalone Inkjet Systems. So with that, I want to thank you very much for your time and attention today, and again, really appreciate you joining us. And if you've got a minute, we'd appreciate you taking the time to fill out a survey and giving us feedback on the webinar. Thanks a bunch. Have a great day.